Good morning. For those that don't know me, my name is Daryl Johnson, and I know Brother Ed has already given an introduction, but I'll share with you a little bit more. I'm an Oklahoman. I was born and raised in a little town called Okmulgee, Oklahoma, and I lived there until I went away to college and went to college up here in the city of Norman, Stillwater, and both. And then my dad was born and raised a few miles to the east in Boley, Oklahoma. So I feel like I'm coming back home. I lived in Dallas, as he said, for about 30 years, and we've been in California, Sacramento area for about 3.5 years. I'm an Oklahoma boy, not a Californian. Not quite yet. Don't let the California people hear me say that, but I like Oklahoma, let's put it that way. There's the wonderful things about California as well. That's where the Lord has us, so we're very grateful to be there. We want you to pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. The thought that the Lord gave me today is going to be found in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. So if you can go there, we'll start at the 11th verse. And we're going to start reading at the 4th chapter, 11th verse of Ephesians. If we're going to give a title to this discourse, it will be The Perfecting of the Saints. So we look at having a revival like this and having somebody come in and speak to us about whatever it is that we may need. What is the purpose of a revival? It is to perfect us. It's to get us to a place, a deeper place, a deeper level, a higher level of what God wants us to be. If we were to be honest with ourselves, there's a little something wrong with all of us. All right? There's a little something that God wants to perfect in every one of us. And so what we want to do as we read this, we want you to pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. If you have it, you can read it for us. If you can have my wife to read, that would be wonderful.
Ephesians 4 and
11.
11. And he gave some apostles.
And he gave some apostles.
And some prophets.
And some prophets.
And some evangelists.
Some evangelists.
And some pastors.
And some pastors and teachers.
For the perfecting,
Of the saints.
For the work of the ministry.
For the work of the ministry.
For the edifying,
of the body of Christ.
Till we all come
into the unity of the faith
and of the knowledge of the Son of God.
Unto a perfect man.
Unto the measure of the stature
of the fullness of Christ. Now, first of all, what he says here, the Lord went through a whole lot of trouble, if we can say it like that, to get somebody, people, to help us get to where we need to be. So he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And why did he do that? For the perfecting of the saints. So there is something, there is a place that God wants to bring us to. And if we can, there's a couple things that I want to bring out. First of all, we're talking about perfecting. When we look at perfecting, it's not saying that we're perfect. It's saying that there is a perfection. There is a perfecting. So when we talk about perfecting, it means that there is a process that we go through. There is something that God wants to give us that we go through a process to get to where God wants us to be. All right. So he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now we're talking about an evangelist. I know that my gift is I do the work of an evangelist, but my gift is a pastor. And I understand that. And for you to have somebody that is actually gifted as a pastor is a great benefit to you. And the reason being is because there are things about that pastor, there are things about him that the Lord gives us this desire, it's something that I can't really explain. There is something about it that we have a love for those individuals that the Lord has placed us over. We have a love for them that we can't explain. It's something that goes deeper. It's like a mother and their children. There's a special thing. I'm a father, and we have two children, but there is something special about my wife that when our children were much, much younger, there was something special that she had that I didn't have. I couldn't have it. It wasn't something that the Lord gave me. And that way is how I look at a pastor, a person that the Lord has given a gift of a pastor. He's concerned about you, he or she, whoever it may be. They're concerned about you to a much deeper level than what you could even understand. And we love you. We'll give our lives for you. And our responsibility is to make certain that you are perfected in the way that God wants you to be perfected. Now, there's a couple things that we are looking at. Now, all of us, when we look at this, all of us are at different spiritual levels. There's no person here that is at the exact same spiritual level. All right? Some of you are much more mature and have a much deeper understanding of the scripture than other people have. All right? So we have to understand that. If we were in a teacher, this was a classroom. He said he gave some pastors and teachers, and part of our responsibility as a pastor is to teach you the way of God, the way of Christ, what the Lord would have us to have you to do, where the Lord would have you to be. So one of the things that a teacher has to do, one of the requirements is they have to have a lesson plan, right? So there's a responsibility that the teacher has. There is a lesson plan. So I've got to teach everybody in this class basically the same thing. And at some point, everybody in the class, and we have a lesson plan here, and so everybody in this class must be taught a particular thing. All right? And then there's a response. So that's the responsibility of the teacher. And the responsibility of the teacher is to make certain that in this lesson plan, everything that I teach you, when we take the test, whenever the test is, whether it's a pop quiz or whatever it is, when we take the test, you have the capacity to make 100%. All right? That's our responsibility. It is wrong for a teacher to say, I'm going to give you a test that I know no one can make 100% on. And you know why it's wrong for them to do that? Because your responsibility is to teach us how to make 100% on that particular thing. So we want perfection. And there are certain people. You remember how when we were in class, there were certain people that were always the top students. I know some of you were that, right? And then some of us weren't. Okay? I do just enough to make certain that I make at least a B. I tried to make certain that I made a B. And if I didn't have to study very hard to make a B, I just didn't study very hard. I'm just telling you about who I am. I didn't study very hard. But the whole point, at some point, then we would hope that the teacher would grade on the curve. Remember those times? They still do that. I've been out of school for 40-something years. They still do that? All right, they still grade on the curve? The bell curve? Do they? Yes, somebody said yes. And then you'd always have that student who studied. And they studied and they made like a 95%, and it was no use to have the bell curve. Well, let me tell you this. The Lord really doesn't grade on the bell curve. It's according to our understanding. All right? When we come to the point that when we teach, we had a good lesson on the Holy Spirit this morning in Sunday school, and that was the plan. And then the responsibility, this is the responsibility of the teacher, right? The teacher's responsibility is to get the lesson plan together. We're not just the teacher. As a pastor, I'm not just the teacher. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. I am just the person who is his mouthpiece. So our responsibility is to get the lesson plan together, and your responsibility is to do your homework, right? All right, so there is a responsibility for each person, the responsibility of the teacher and the responsibility of the student. If you do not do your homework, if you do not study, and the scripture tells us to do that, the scripture tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me tell you, if you do not study the word of God, if you do not pray, if you do not read your Bible, if you do not endeavor to get as close to the Lord as you can, when that test comes, there is not going to be a perfect score. I can guarantee that. And oftentimes, all of us have come to places that we have said, you know what, I didn't go through that trial very well. I'm going to have to go through it again, and I have to go and apologize. I'm going to go and ask somebody for forgiveness, and I've got to go and ask the Lord for forgiveness. This is not the life that a Christian is supposed to live, right? A Christian is supposed to live a life that there is that everybody that is around them can look at them and see that man, there's something different about that fella. There's something different about that woman. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But every time that they're going through something, they just got a sweet spirit about it. That's what we're wanting. The Lord is wanting a perfecting of the saints. There is a place that God wants to take us to that we can be perfect in whatever the situation is. Well, Brother Darrell, nobody's perfect. Let me tell you, the Lord spoke about Job. And what did he say? A perfect man and upright in all is according to our understanding. He was perfect and he was upright. So here's what we have. Everybody's at a certain, at a different level, right? Okay. If everybody's at a different level, then we've got anywhere from little children. What grade are you in? Fourth? You were in? Third. Okay. And the rest of us, some of you are in high school, right? So he's in the fourth grade. If I do a test for a fourth grader, you know, nowadays I don't know if I'd be able to pass it. For real. what they're teaching nowadays. But if I did a test, let's just say I'm pretty smart. Let's just put it that way, right? So if I did a test for a fourth grader with that, and I made 100%, would that be something great? Would you clap your hand and say, Brother Darrell, you did a great job. You passed the test of a fourth grader. Would that be a perfect score? Would you consider that perfection? No, why not? Because I should be at a higher level, right? I should be at a higher level. But if this young man here did it and it was a perfect score, we're gonna say, hey, look, you're pretty smart. We appreciate what you're doing, right? A fourth grader, a third grader. May the Lord help us to understand all of us are at some point. And this is why people say, well, nobody's perfect. You can't be perfect for anything. Oh, yes, you can. You can be perfect. You can be perfect in what God has for you. There is a perfecting that the Lord wants to do in your life. You've got to allow Him to do it. All right? All right, we're going to go a little farther here. It says here, and He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says, until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, there's a couple things that I want to point out here. It says, until we all come into the unity of the faith. So there is a progression that's here, until we all come. Until, when we use that word, until, there is something that is taking place. I'm not there yet. But by the grace of God, I'm coming into the unity of the faith. Now, there is something, if we were asked people sometimes, what do you believe? There is probably on various levels, we all believe something a little bit different, right? Now, there is one thing that we should believe. We should believe that we can live a holy and a righteous life. All right? And we can. And let me tell you, if you don't believe certain things, there is a way. When I don't believe that this is possible, I don't believe if you say, I do not believe that it is possible to live a holy life, chances are that you're not going to do it. All right? But if you say, well, maybe there's a possibility that I can live a holy life. Maybe there's a possibility. I don't quite know. But if somebody would open the scriptures and show me, and not only show me by scriptures, but show me by example, by the way that you live, by the way that you go through your trials, that when you're going through that trial, when they spit in your face and when they talked about you, you made 100%. There was perfection there. Why? Because you sought the Lord. You got the grace that you needed to be able to go through whatever it is that you're going through. There is something about that, isn't it? There's something about that perfection that this individual. Oh, it's not that we're lifting the people up. We don't do that, do we? But let me tell you, if I believe that I can live a righteous and a holy life, then I believe I can do it by the grace of God. I tell the Lord all the time. This is how I pray all the time. I say, Lord, if you give me the grace and the courage to do it, sometimes I need courage to do what the Lord wants me to do. Because maybe I'm afraid. Maybe there's what are the people are going to say? What am I doing? This is just something that terrifies me. Do you know the Lord wants us to step out on faith sometime? And as we step out on faith sometime, that can be very terrifying to us. So what do we say? Lord, I need the courage to do it. So when the children of Israel were going over into the land of Canaan, what did he say in Joshua, the first few chapters? He just kept saying, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. The Lord's going to take you to a deeper place. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have already given you. Not that I'm going to give it to you. It's already yours. All you have to do is go out there and make certain that you have the courage to do it. But be of good courage, he says. So there are going to be some times in our experience that we're going to have the courage to do what God wants us to do. And sometimes we're going to have to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the grace to do what you want me to do. I can't do it without your grace. I can't do it without your courage. All right. Until we all come into the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Does everybody have the same understanding of God? Does everybody have the same knowledge and understanding? No, we don't. But the Lord wants to say, I want to make myself available to you. I want you to read about me. I want you to understand who I am. I want you to understand everything about me. And all of us, there is a deeper level. There is a perfecting of our knowledge of what God wants us to be. There is a more perfect way. Can we say that? There is a deeper experience that I can have, that you can have in the knowledge of God. It says, until we get there. Well, Brother Darrell, I'm not there. But you know what I want you to say? I'm not there. I'm not there yet, right? I'm not there yet. What that means is that there is a progression here. I'm not there now, but I'm going to get there by the help and the grace of God. Whatever it takes to get there, that's what I'm going to do. This is what the Lord gives us, pastors and teachers and evangelists and apostles. That's why the Lord gives us there, because we're not there yet, but we're going to get there by the help and the grace of God. You with me? All right. Until, it says, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Where are we going? To a perfect man. Well, Brother Darrell, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. How do I reconcile that when I realize, okay, I've got issues. You've got issues. How do I reconcile to a perfect man? Well, let's keep going though. To a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, so the unity of the faith and what we believe, there is a unity of it. And there's some point that we should agree on the basics. Now, there's not probably going to be some details. And I've learned this in the time that I've been a pastor over the last 30-something years. I've been a pastor. There's some details that everybody doesn't necessarily see it that same way. But there's a coming to it. And as I open up the Word and as I explain the Word to the individuals, they come to a better understanding and a more perfect, not perfect knowledge, but a more perfect knowledge of what Christ intends. Yes. So our responsibility is to do that. Your responsibility is to get into the Word. Do you know a good majority of our insight is regurgitated from somebody else? You know what I mean? It's like we eat it. It's like the breast milk of a mother. It's the food that she takes in that goes to the babies. But let me tell you, at some point you got teeth and you got to start doing it for yourself, right? Lord, help us. And this is where the Lord has taken us. We got to grow up. A stature, the fullness, a grown man is what we're saying. The maturity of Christ, of what Christ wants us to be. May the Lord help us with that. So the knowledge of the Son of God, to know God's Son is to know God Himself. Yes. So what we're doing is not, oh, Brother Darrell, you're just trying to get us to be a little more holy. No, here's what we're really trying to do. We're trying to get you to the point that you're a perfect man in the fullness and the stature of Christ. That you know who the Lord is. That you have a personal relationship with the Lord. And that no one can take that away from you. You know what I've realized? That the only person that can keep me out of heaven, there is one person that can keep me out of heaven. Y'all can do whatever y'all want to do, but the only person that can keep me out of heaven is the man that I look at in the mirror every morning. No one else can. You can tar me, you can feather me, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. The world can come against me, but the only person that can keep me out of heaven is me. And so therefore, what do I have to do? I have to make certain that I understand everything that the Lord wants me to do. I have a perfection in the knowledge of what God is requiring of me. Let's continue to go. Let's go to, drop down to the 14th verse.
That we henceforth be no more children,
tossed to and fro,
and carried about with every wind of doctrine,
by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness,
whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
But speaking the truth in love,
may grow up in him in all things which is the head,
even Christ. Now, we're talking about the little young man that's sitting on a front row that's very attentive, by the way, to what we're saying. And I appreciate that. And you know what? At some point, he's going to be out of the fourth grade and he's going to be in the fifth grade, right? He's going to be in the sixth grade. He's going to be in the seventh grade. And there's going to be a level of perfection at each level that's required of him. There's going to be something that he's going to be required to do, just like there's something that each one of us is required to do. Now, what we can do, we can say, you know, I did really good in the fourth grade, but if in the fifth grade he doesn't come and do at that same level and study and do his homework, then he's not going to make a perfect score. No. Right? And so in the same way, when the tests come, and the tests will come, there'll be one, a midterm, we say, and there's going to be one of finals, all those kind of things. There's going to be tests. Let me tell you something. If you haven't done your homework, and the Lord says, all right, I'm through with you being in the third grade, in the fourth grade, in the fifth grade, I want you to graduate. He says, when you should have been teachers, you have a need that somebody teaches you. We can't live like that, can we? The Lord wants something a little bit more. There is a progression. There is a perfecting. Not just, I'm perfect and this is where it is. You might be perfect where you are now, but let me tell you, there's going to be something tomorrow. There's going to be something that you're going to have to face tomorrow. May the Lord help us and bless us in that. Let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter, and we'll start reading at the eighth verse. Ephesians 3, verse 8.
Unto me,
uh-huh,
who am less than the least of
I'm
all
sorry.
Saints.
I'm sorry. Philippians. Philippians 3, verse 8.
Yea, doubtless. I count all things.
But loss.
For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered
the loss of all things,
and do count them but dung,
that I may win Christ,
and be found in Him,
not having mine own righteousness,
which is of the law,
but that which is through the faith of Christ,
the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him,
and the power of His resurrection,
and the fellowship of His sufferings,
being made conformable unto His death,
if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
He says that I may know Him. That is the whole point of you coming to church. It's not to gather ourselves together and just have a good time. It's for us to come together and to get to know the Lord, that I may know Him. And what are you willing to give up to get to know Him? What are you willing to do? What kind of homework are you willing to do? Are you willing to go home and study so that you can know the Lord? Here's what I've learned about knowing the Lord. What I've learned about Him, the more we know Him, the easier our trials become. Because have you ever been in a situation where you say, this is just too much? I'm going through something that's too much. It doesn't make sense to me. Have you ever said that? I have. And then when I got to know the Lord a little bit better, I came to the understanding and the conclusion that He knows what's best for me. That all things work together. It doesn't matter what they are. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are the called according to His purpose. He has a purpose in your life. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's that God has a purpose in our lives. And He knows what that purpose is. And every situation and every circumstance in our life affects the purpose of God. And it points us more directly to that. When I came to understand that, it was a little easier for me to go through the hard things. There are going to be some hard things in your life, I promise you. But when you see and you understand that those hard things are for my benefit, and I'm going to come out a much better man or much better woman than I was when I went into them, when I understand that, it makes it a little bit easier. You have a little bit better understanding. Your knowledge of God has been perfected just a little bit more. There is a perfecting of your understanding of how all of these things work together. And I could tell you so many situations of how I was so disappointed. And I was telling the Wilsons the last night of some things that I was so disappointed of and how they worked. I didn't tell them all the details, but here's my point. There were some things, I'll just say some things in my life that I was highly disappointed about. And then I come to the conclusion, I put an offer in on a piece of property. And I didn't get the offer. And I was so disappointed in that. And my head was drooped down. And it was for a church. And I thought it was for the benefit and for the work of the Lord. And I was so disappointed when I didn't get it. And then all of a sudden, almost a year later, the Lord put in my heart to go and just ask about it. And I asked about it, and it was much better terms. Everything was much better a year later. I didn't see that when I was disappointed. I didn't see that, but God saw it. And so now I'm disappointed in something. Now I have a little more perfect knowledge that when things go directly against the way that I want them to go, don't get all disgruntled and don't get all discouraged, because God has a purpose in it. God's purpose in it. Now I have a little better knowledge. My knowledge of God is perfected just a little bit more. And now when I go through the next trial and I'm disappointed, I'm not going to be as disappointed as I was last time. Because God had a purpose in that. Do you understand what we're saying? So now, did I go through the trial right? Did I go through it with perfect understanding? No, I don't have perfect understanding. You don't have perfect understanding. You can't see tomorrow. God can. Let Him be God. Let Him be God. Yes. All right. Let's go a little further. 15th verse.
Let us therefore, as many be perfect. Be thus minded.
I think we just skipped on. Let's go to the 12th verse. I'm sorry.
Not as though I had already attained, even though I was already perfect.
I hadn't attained this. I haven't gotten to the place that I wanted to be, is what Paul is saying here. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect.
But I follow
after,
if that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of Christ.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do.
I forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I haven't gotten there. I'm not perfect. Now, some folks will say, well, Paul sinned more or less every day. No, Paul didn't. No, he didn't. Let me tell you, the Lord gives us, delivers us from sin. But there is this perfection that God is saying, I want you to be closer. I want you to be deeper. I want there to be a perfecting. There are some things about you that, you know what, I say that there are some things about you that you don't like. Right? If there are things about you that you don't like, you suppose God likes everything about, oh, God just loves everything about you. No, he doesn't. And then not only that, but let me tell you also, there are going to be things about you that your spouse doesn't like or that somebody sat next to you doesn't like. And so the Lord wants to perfect those little areas. Well, that's just how I am. You're just going to have to deal with it. What do you mean that's just how you are? Nobody is supposed to change. Nobody is supposed to perfect where they are. No, God knows that that's how you are. But let me tell you, that's not how God intended for you to be. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, do you realize that he was a perfect man? Perfect. Everything about him was perfect. The way he thought, the process of his mind was perfect until sin got in there. And let me tell you, where the problems are in your life is because somewhere sin got in there and sin corrupted you. Let me tell you, every one of us have been in sin. And as a result of having been in sin, there are going to be some things about us, about the way we think, about the way that we process things, about what happened in our childhood. This is why Paul is saying, those things which are behind, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Because there are some things in our childhood that form who we are today. Some abuses that happened in our childhood and some things that took place in our childhood and they affect who we are today. And the Lord says, I want you to forget about all that. I want you to come and lay all those things on the altar. And I promise you, I'll wipe them clean. I'll give you a more perfect understanding of me. And not only that, but I'll give you a more perfect understanding of why those things happen to you. Well, sometimes we say, why do these bad things happen to me? I can't answer that, but God can. And let me tell you what oftentimes I see. The bad things that happen to us in our lives as children and all these, because not all of us didn't have stellar childhoods. We had some issues and some problems and whatnot. I thank the Lord for the childhood that I had, but I run into people that have problems all the time. And let me tell you, sometimes the reason the Lord allows you to go through these problems is so that you can help somebody else through them. You got to lift yourself up. The Lord lifts you up. I don't want you to say you lift yourself up by your bootstraps, but you study. You do your homework. You listen to the word of God. You do what God wants you to do, and you will become have a more perfect understanding of what God wants in your life and why God allows these things to happen in your life. Go a little further here. He says here, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. There's a reason that we forget those things, because those things in the past can really weigh us down. If I'm constantly looking back this way at all the bad things that happened to me, I cannot look forward to what God has for me. And so I'm constantly going to be coming back dealing with the things that happened in my past life that I can do absolutely nothing about. What can I do about my childhood, how I was raised? What can I do about it? Nothing. I can accept it and I can use it as a stepping stone and as a foundation to where God wants to take me. Because you know what? Before you were born, God understood who you were. He understood the environment that you were going to be born in. He understood all of that. He said, this is how I'm going to make you and mold you into what I want you to be in that bad environment. Oh, but Brother Daryl, you don't know what's horrible. Yeah, I don't know how horrible it was, but God knows how horrible it is. And have you asked him? Have you talked to him? Have you had the greater knowledge? And there's some perfecting that the Lord wants to do right now, because at some point, I'm no longer a child. At some point, I start making decisions on my own. At some point, I have to forgive those people that did those horrible, horrible things to me. I have to forgive them, or I have to hold it against. That's my choice. I can hold it. I can hold it for the rest of my life, and I can be bitter. I say this all the time, and I say the reason you forgive people is not for them, it's for you. They're on the beach somewhere in Acapulco, and they're enjoying themselves, and you're still thinking about what they did to you 3 years ago. Who's better off? They are. They didn't forget about it. But if I forgive them, I have a more perfect place to forgive. Lord, give me a greater perfection of forgiveness. Some of us need it. Some of us have the ability to hold on to stuff, and we are upset at people for 10 years for something they do. Somebody passes and we turn our heads like this after we make eye contact so that they'll know that we are ignoring them. Have you ever done that? Surely you haven't done that. People do it. I've had people to do it. I've seen people do it. They make certain that you're looking at them, and then they turn their heads like this. Lord, have mercy. Forgive the person for what they did. Lord wants to do that. There is a place of perfection that the Lord wants to get us to. Now, he says here, let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you have otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Okay, so it says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Do you want to be perfect? If you don't want to be perfect, it's not going to work. Do you want to have a greater level of perfection, spiritual perfection? If you want to have a greater level of spiritual perfection, it says, have that same mind. Be thus minded. Think about that. Where this is, I want it. I just don't have it yet, Brother Darrell. It's okay if you don't have it yet. It's okay if you're not there yet. As long as you put the yet there. It's okay that you're not there, but we want to say yet. But by the help and the grace of God, I'm going to get there. By the help and the grace of God, be thus minded. Think like this. Think like Paul did. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm not already perfect. I'm not already there in a spiritual sense, but I'm going to get there by the help and the grace of God. I will get there. It may take me a little time, but I'm getting there. My whole mind, my whole focus is to get there and for the Lord to perfect in me His will and His way. All right, be thus minded. If your heart ain't in it, God will let you know that too. Have you ever just pretended something? Lord lets you know that. Go a little further here. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Moving toward our conclusion. 1 Chronicles. Before we do that, I'm going to read Job. I'll just read that. Job 1. And 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and eschews evil? Can the Lord say that about you? Now, I'll be honest with you. I do not want to go through what Job went through. I have no desire to do that for the Lord. So I'll tell you what I do. I'll share it with you because it's really true. I try to get... When I go into a deep trial, you know what I try to do? I try to get low as fast as I can. You know why? I try to get the Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Because I want to be out of this thing. I don't enjoy trials. I don't enjoy going through tests. How many of us enjoy, I can't wait. And when we were in school, I can't wait to go to the tests on Friday. Are you guys ready for it? How many of us did that? It was something that we dreaded, right? The midterms, and we studied, and we did all these kind of things, and we weren't really excited when the test came. I think I'm ready. I hope I'm ready. And now we get to the point nobody was saying, I'm really excited about this. Let's get it. Give me my teacher. Give me the test. We don't do that, do we? I don't want to go through what Job went through. I do not want to go through what Job went through. But if I ever start, even if it's starting that way, you know what I do? I ask the Lord, teach me. Help me to get the lesson as fast as I can so I can get out of this thing. He didn't always do that. He says in one place, he says, let patience have its perfect work. You know what? You know one of the ingredients of faith is patience? If you don't have patience, you don't have faith. And Lord help me, I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. I am not the most patient person in the world. I'm not, by nature. Lord's had to teach me. He's worked with me quite a bit. He's perfecting that part of me. But I tend to be one of those people, if we start tomorrow, I want it done yesterday. It's completely impossible to do that, right? But I'll get a job done. I'll keep working until I get it done because I want to go in and get it done, right? But it says, let patience have its perfect work. Why? That you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There are going to be some times that the Lord's going to keep you in the heated furnace. In the heated furnace, Father, let us stay. Sometimes we can't sing that song very well, can we? But let me tell you what happens. There is a perfection that happens when we're in the midst of the fire. And it has to be, let's say if you want to cook a cake and it's going to be on 350. Do you turn the oven up? I don't even know if they go up to 700, do you? So you can get it done in half the time? What's going to happen? It's not going to work. No, it's going to burn. There's going to be some things that, so in the same way, there are some times that the Lord turns the oven up and you preheat it and then you stick them in there and the Lord stick us in there and Lord, do you realize it's hot in here? Yes, I realize it's hot in there, but you need it and there are some things that I'm going to burn some things off. We talked about that in Sunday school. It's going to be a nice heat, a nice little heat, and it's going to burn the dross in the Lord. And we say, Lord, have mercy on me. In the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away. To thy glorious image is reflected there, to the costly jewels of thy grace I wear. All right? 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9.
And thou, Solomon,
my son,
know thou the God of thy father, and serve him,
with a perfect heart
and a willing mind. For the Lord serves.
Okay, so here's what I want us to understand. You can serve the Lord with a heart to the level of your perfect, to the level of your understanding.
Yes.
Now I understand what you don't have to, and this is what I see in people. You don't have to live to my understanding. I don't have to live to Brother Ed's understanding. He knows a lot more than I do, has a lot more experience than I do. I don't have to live to his understanding. I don't have to live to the level. Now, my level of holiness is the same. Doesn't matter who you are. If you know it's wrong, don't do it. That's the simplistic way of doing it. But then there is a depth that the Lord wants to take us to. I don't have to live the depth that you live, and you don't have to live the depth that I live. You live to the level of your understanding. This is why people say it's not impossible for us to have perfection, is because they're trying to live something that's way beyond what their ability. The scripture says in one place, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a growing in the grace, and then there's a growing in the knowledge as well. Now, oftentimes what we have is a growth in the knowledge, and we don't have the grace to live up to what we know. I hear no amens on that one. It's true. If you were raised in this, I was raised in the Church of God, and I tell the story all the time, and you probably heard me say it, and my intentions was, when I was in high school, I had no intentions of being a preacher. None. Wasn't even going to be around. Y'all were going to have to come and find me. But then the Lord talked to me and got a hold of my heart, and he said, just live where you are, Daryl. You don't have to live where your mom and daddy live. Live where you are, and then as you live where you are and you have an understanding, and this is why it's important for us, when we see other people that may not be up to our standard, I'm going to put that there, up to our standard, we got to be careful how we deal with them, don't we? Because they're at another level. They're in the third grade. They're in the second grade. They're just newborn babies. Newborn baby is not going to be able to chew what you had to, what to chew. Well, if I got to do it, everybody else got to do it. No. There's something wrong with that, right? If I've got to do it, everybody else has to do it too. No, they don't have to do it. May the Lord help us to understand that there is a perfecting. Now you're in kindergarten, and now you're in the first grade, and there's a perfection there. And second grade, there's a perfection there. Third grade, and all the way up until you go to meet the Lord. There is going to be a level of perfection that the Lord wants you to have, right?
Yes.
Y'all still with me?
Yes.
All right. So he says here, and Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Sometimes the things that the Lord wants us to do, we just got to be willing to do it. I heard one preacher say one time, he says, sometimes we got to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be willing to be willing. Because right now I'm not willing to do it. But help me to be willing to be willing. And sometimes that's the first prayer that we need to pray. Lord, I want to do it. I don't want to do it, but if you'll give me the will to do it, I'll do it. And he says, if you do it with a willing mind, be thus minded, scripture says. Serving with a perfect heart and willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. We don't want that, right? Let's go a little farther.
Take heed now.
That's good. That's good enough. Let's drop down to, and let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 23rd verse. Hebrews 12, verse 23. Trust that you can understand what.
To the General Assembly.
General Assembly.
Church of the Firstborn.
Church of the Firstborn.
Which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all. And to the spirits,
of just men made perfect. Now, I want to deal with another thing. We're talking about the process of perfection. Do you know that you can have a perfect surrender to the Lord? sing a song, Perfect Submission, Perfect Delight. We can have a perfect submission. Now, this is where my homework comes in. This is where our homework comes in. This is where we do something a little bit that we have some culpability in where we are in this level of perfection. So we have to say, Lord, give me the perfect heart. Give me the willing mind so I can be perfectly submitted to the Lord. This is where we can be perfect. Perfectly submitted to the will of the Lord, and we can be perfectly obedient to what He tells us to do. When He tells us to do it, we can be perfectly obedient to what God requires of us. All right? So just men made perfect. Do you see how it says it's made perfect? It's not something that they're there yet, but there's a continual. And so I want to make sure that we have a clear understanding that we're not talking about that, there are some people that say nobody's perfect. You can't live a life that's holy and a life free from sin. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And let me tell you why you can. Because one of the most wonderful things, first of all, that's what Jesus died for. That's what the gospel message is all about. The gospel message is not for me to continue to be bound by sin, the thing that I don't want. The reason that it drove me to the Lord in the first place was because I was doing things that I didn't want to do. Yes. And you know the wonderful thing about salvation? To me, there's a whole lot of wonderful things, but the one thing that's almost at the top of my list is that I can say no to the devil. Mm-hmm. And I have the power to say no to temptation. If there's a great temptation, I can say no to it. When I was in sin, I couldn't say no to it. I said no to it, and I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to do it, and then, oops, I did it again. Lord, help us. All right. All right, let's go to Hebrews 13 and 21.
Make you perfect
in every good work
to do His will.
To do His will. That's the whole point. Make you perfect in the work that you're doing to do His will, all right? Working
in you that in you well pleasing.
Now how can I become perfect? It's not that I'm gonna do it on, I'm a tough guy and I can make myself do things. I cannot make myself do these kinds of things. When the devil is coming against me, I can't do it, but Jesus in me can. When I submit myself and I submit myself fully and I'm obedient to the Lord, I gain strength. And the devil loses strength, right? He loses his hold and he loses his grip. So he says, make ye perfect in every good work to do God's will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So how do we do it? How do we live a perfect life, a perfect and a holy life? The only way that we can do it is God in us, working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I've just submitted myself and I've completely, perfectly humbled myself before the Lord, and the Lord is doing it in me. It's not me. He's doing it through me. It's not me. It's Him. Him doing it through me and in me. All right. Let me go to John 17, verse 20. This is Jesus praying.
Neither pray I for these alone.
This is Jesus. These are His words, His prayer. Have you ever thought about how some of y'all have grandmothers and praying mothers and praying folks that are praying for you? Some really prayer warriors. Remember those? And when you get into real trouble, who do you call? You call those that can pray, those that can touch God, right? That's what we want. But this is Jesus. And we think about, my mother prayed. My mother was a praying woman. And I think our prayers are still affecting me today. All right? And it says, neither pray I for these alone. So I believe prayers are still affecting us today. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me.
Through their word.
That they all may be one.
As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee.
That they also may be one in us.
And that the world may believe. That thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me,
I have given them.
That they may be one.
Even as we are one.
I in them, and thou in me.
That they may be made perfect in one.
And that the world may know that thou hast sent me.
And has loved them as thou hast loved me. Now do you see how He just takes us and just bundles us up in Christ? And do you see how He just says, I'm in you, Father, and they are in me, and I'm praying for them that they may be one in us, and that there is a perfection in us. And so this is where it is. This is where it takes place, y'all. It's not something that takes place, oh, well, y'all go to the church here, Church of God, and pray, and all of us are perfect. No, it's that we're perfect in Christ Jesus. It's Him working in us, working through us to perfect us. And so what does He do? He gives us the... Is this the eraser? Okay. He gives us the pastors, evangelists, apostles, pastors and teachers. Why? So that you can be better than what you are. So those little areas in your life that you are not even satisfied with, then God can do something about those, that you can let Him do it. Well, if I say to you, listen, you know, well, that's just how it is. It's one of those Johnson traits. So y'all just gonna have to deal with it. If I said that, that means that I'm just completely closed off to any perfecting in that area. Sometimes the reason we shut things off like that is because it's too painful for us to deal with. And we're cowards. And so sometimes we have to have courage to open it up and deal with it in the way that God wants us to deal with it, right? And so what we have to understand is, Lord, I want to be more perfect. I want to be more like You. And so ultimately the whole point is we want to be like Christ. So when people look at you, when they look at you, when they see you on the street, when they see you in the home, when the doors are closed and it's just you, do they see Christ or do they see Me? Do they see something that needs to be perfected, or do they see the beauty of a perfected life? What do they see? And may the Lord help us to understand and realize that what God wants us to be and what He wants us is more perfect saints, because we are the testimony to the world. We're His testimony. These are My people. When they look at Me, when they look at you, they should see Christ. And so the whole purpose of the perfecting of the saints is to bring us to a perfect man, to the measure and the fullness of the stature of Christ. God wants you to look like Him. Jesus wants you to look like Him. And the only way for us to do that is to get rid of some of these little things about us that we've been okay with. It's been like this for 50 years or 30 years and it's okay. No, it's not okay. Don't be satisfied with imperfection. Don't be satisfied with spiritual imperfection. God has something greater and better for you than that. Well, Brother Darrell, you just have to understand me. Listen, I know I'm telling you something hard because it's something that I've had to deal with myself. Not something that I'm just talking to you about. It's something that I've had to deal with myself. That there are issues, there are things that happened to me long time ago that I still had to battle with. And I had to get a level of perfection. And I had to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be more perfect. Not to be lifted up, but to be more like You. That when people look at me and when I'm going through the test and the trial, I don't have to go back and say, you know, I'm sorry, brother. I spoke to you too harshly. I'm so sorry about that. No, the Lord can get that out of me. Yes. And give me a more perfect, clean my lips up. What does it say? He that something about if you don't sin with your lips, you're a perfect man. Yes. It's in James, I believe. You're perfect. You know why? Because let me tell you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. If you hit me and you hit me and there's something in there, let me tell you, I'm going to hit you back. Or if I don't hit you back, I'm going to say something to you. Let you know that this is not the way that you ain't going to do that to me again. All right. Many as would be perfect, be thus minded. Pray for me.